Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's Love Month, and we're starting things off with a bang.
Whose idea was it to abstain from intimacy while dating in today's day and time? When you first met him, were you already in law and had a job? Did you have a job?
Nope, didn't have a job. I was in my last semester. I was interning at the time for a big entertainment company, but I didn't have a job lined up yet.
There's a lot of conversation on the internet right now about dating, relationships, high-value men and women. But this couple, see, this couple right here has pushed all of the social media noise to the side and is focused on the true meaning of marriage.
The marriage matters more than the day itself.
He respected every decision that he made because he got a luxury apartment for us when he came, and he made that choice for me.
Now, before we hop into today's show, I want to remind you of the book of the month, Feel Good Productivity. Be sure to grab your copy, link in the description box below. And while you're there, yes, while you are there, be sure to like, comment, and subscribe so you can be notified every single time we drop a new video. Alrighty, now, let's hop into the show.
Welcome to the table, we gonna get real, we gonna get right, building up wealth, we gonna give life. Welcome to the table. Wealth, yeah. Welcome to the table.
What's going on, fam? It's your boy, Anthony O'Neal. Welcome back to The Table, man. I'm super excited about today's show. Like Michelle said, we're going to have a great show today. But before we get to them, hey, do me a favor. She already said it. It's a new year. I really want you to be a part of the E3 family. We're increasing in abundance, wellness, and freedom. So if you're enjoying this content, if you truly want to increase in the year of 2024, be a part of a family. That's what we're focusing on moving forward. So hit that subscribe button, hit the bell button, and do not forget, every single month this year, we are increasing our minds. We are reading every single day. I'm reading the book of Proverbs every single month and reading each chapter every single day for the entire year of 2024. But then also, I'm reading a book a week, and I had the opportunity of last month reading a good book called Feel Good Productivity, How to Do More of What Matters. Now, this is a thick book, right? It's from a good YouTuber who I follow, who is just very big at making sure that you know how to put the right systems in place to accomplish your vision, accomplish your goals. He's very big on productivity. It's almost similar to one of our guests today. He quit his job to pursue his dream. And his dream was, I want to help people become more productive. He was a lawyer. One of our guests today is an attorney, but he was a doctor, actually. I'm sorry. Now, Ali was a doctor in the UK. And he said, you know what, man? I actually enjoy doing YouTube. And he built a multiple seven-figure, going on eight-figure business. And he put how he was able to be productive inside of this book. And this book will bless you. So we're going to drop this book in today's show notes. Get it. It's called Feel Good Productivity, What to Do, How to Do More of What Actually Matters and Less of What Doesn't Matter. We'll drop it in there. Now, listen, this is going to take you a full month. It took me about a week and 3 days to read this book. Normally, I can get through a book now at this season of my life in about 3.5-4 days if I'm really focused. But this one took a little bit longer. So this is going to take you the entire month of February. So get it right now, and I promise you, you will be blessed. But I'm super excited because we have Andrew and Monique at the table today. And man, while we were talking pre-show, I was just impressed with these two black individuals, man. And I love saying black because you don't see, we need to see more black excellence, especially young black excellence, young Christian black excellent people. And can I just be real with you? Now, y'all know me, but I keep it real with you. We need to see more good-looking young couples, okay? You know what I'm saying? We need to see more handsome men and good-looking sisters coming together and building the kingdom, because I'm tired. Why do all of the Christian people, I don't want to say, I can't say that, but they don't look like, dang, that's fire right there. You know what I'm saying? But then when you see these two, you're like, okay, oh, okay. minute, you know? And when I walked into the studio, I was like, bruh, I see you. You know what I mean? I see you. And I love that because their story, their journey, especially in the month of Black History Month, and in the month of, you know, Valentine's Day and love. I was like, all right, cool. Let me talk a little bit about the love, relationships, and money, and resources, and coming together. While we're also talking about the Black History situation we have going on, and make sure you watch that. We're airing that every single Wednesday. So check that out, because it's amazing with what we're talking about. But listen, man, at the age of 24 and 26, these two individuals, at 24, 26, in this generation, they decided to date and abstain. Mm. I'm talking about no, let's just be real, no good sex. For a long period of time. And Jesus. So ladies and gentlemen, let's talk about it. We're gonna get into it today. Andrew, Monique, welcome to the table.
Thank you for having us.
Yo, listen, I wanna get straight into it, because the pre-show was amazing. All right, and I purposely cut y'all off because, like, y'all ain't gonna keep the same energy when we turn on the camera. So let me not even ask no more questions. But right before I ask, whose idea was it to abstain from intimacy while dating in today's day and time? Whose idea was it?
It was mine.
All yours.
Yeah.
She had nothing to do with it.
It was mutual, but it was me who initiated.
For real.
I will say yes. I remember the day I was at work. I think it was on my lunch break, and I was on the phone with him.
Mm-hmm.
And prior to, I was praying. I'm a journaler when I talk to God, so I was praying, I was writing. And I was like, I really think that I should make this choice to not have sex with him. But I don't know how to bring this up, because I've never done that before, to say no to the person. I was afraid that I was going to lose such a great person. And we were on the phone, and he goes, so I had my therapy session, and she spoke to me, and she said that she believes that I should abstain from sex for 6 months. And I was on the phone like, like, thank you, because I didn't know how to bring it up myself.
Wow.
And so I said, I agree.
Wow.
And so he was like, okay, cool, because I didn't know how you would feel about it. I was like, I was actually feeling the same way. But yeah, he did actually bring it up. I remember now.
Why did that conversation come up in your therapy session?
So for me, I was on a healing journey when we first started dating.
Okay.
Because when I was in a previous relationship.
Okay.
And men were visual.
Yep.
And so.
Absolutely.
You know, it was a situation where the girl looked good, mm-hmm. but on the inside, things didn't match up.
Okay, yeah.
And that was the first time I really encountered that situation.
Okay.
Because when I was 24, so
yep.
when you're 23 and under, you're not really, most guys aren't dating seriously.
Seriously.
You know, coming out of college,
right.
got into a serious relationship and realized, man, like, I gotta do better. And I don't wanna run into the same mistake I ran into last time. I wanna make sure that I'm healed and well-prepared. And what I realized with my therapy sessions and when I was talking to my therapist was, you know, when you're intimate too early, you're not able to see all the red flags or possible issues that could be in a relationship.
Facts. Okay. Yeah. Okay. So as a man, let's be real. We'll come back to you, Lonnie. But as a man, let's keep it above. I think sometimes what crosses a young man, a boy, into manhood is being able to control his flesh, right? Being able to, my grandmama used to say, ask the Holy Spirit to literally sit on you and control your flesh. Was that, so you made the decision, you made the phone call, y'all had the conversation, respectfully, you have a beautiful wife, so you seen her every day, y'all hugging, y'all kissing, y'all flirting.
Right.
As a man, how difficult was it for you to honor what you started as a man? How difficult was it? Did you ever have to have conversations? Did you have to go, I mean, what held you from not trying your, because let's be real, she love you.
Right.
So if you would have led down that path, she probably said, babe, I thought, but then eventually she probably would have fell in based upon you. So what helped you to lead as a man in this situation?
It was extremely difficult.
Yeah.
It was extremely difficult. I think what helped me was, like, developing a level of respect for her outside of her looks.
Mm.
So we started off working out together.
Okay.
That was how we started. I wanted to see her mindset.
Yeah.
I was looking for things other than how she looked.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And by valuing those aspects of her, I knew, I was like, man, one day, of course, we're gonna be intimate.
Right, right.
But I value you so much.
Yeah.
That I would like for us to be more vulnerable with each other and be so deep that by the time we get to that point, she really knows, like, man, this man is really serious.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But it was difficult because there's a chance that she could have thought, is he not attracted to me?
Facts.
Does he have some side chicks or something?
Facts.
You know? So I had to just stand with integrity and really go to God with it every time.
What, Monique, for you, what was the reassurance that, okay, sex is off the table, but what was he giving you that helped you understand, okay, this is serious, and he's not out there doing that, and he's still in love with me, and it's growing?
I feel like it was two-part. One, when I really learned more about his backstory, and he was able to express to me how disciplined he had been, I'd been able to see all of the accomplishments and things he did, and I was like, this does not make sense how you're at such a young age, you know, having articles written about you, the way that you were able to develop your own business and all these different things that you did. I'm like, if he could be disciplined in those arenas, I do believe he can be disciplined in this.
Mm.
But also, it was the first time I felt like someone actually saw me.
Mm.
I had dated before, and very quickly, they wanted to touch me, they wanted this, or, you know, they were always commenting on how I looked.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was the first time, the very first date we went on.
Mm-hmm.
The next morning, I woke up, and it wasn't a, hey, you know, how was last night, whatever. It was, here's a list of black therapists in the area that can help you, because I remember when we had the conversation, you told me you were looking for one. So he was a very good listener and intentional about everything that I was like, regardless, even if he does, I'm grateful for this relationship right now. So let me be in the moment and experience it with him.
That's so dope. Well, how did y'all meet?
It's a funky story.
Oh.
So my story, side. Yeah. So we actually both went to the University of Maryland.
Yeah. Okay, University of Maryland.
But we did not know each other.
Okay.
Like, we were there at the same time. He actually used to throw parties. I was at his parties. Yeah. I've seen him, but I didn't really know him.
So you knew
him,
of him, but you didn't know him.
Mm-mm.
Okay.
We both followed each other on social media.
Okay.
We actually both started working in North Carolina. I was living in Wilmington at the time, and he went to law school in Greensboro, North Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
So he DM'd me one day, you know, kind of mutual friends, hey, we should hang out. And I looked, Wilmington and Greensboro is like 3 hours.
Absolutely.
I was like, bro, nobody is going to Greensboro.
Right.
So I'll see you soon. So we would DM each other. You know, he would comment on something or whatever. COVID happened. I moved back to Jersey. My grandpa wasn't doing well. And I was like, my contract was up for my job.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to search for something, but the world is kind of crazy. I'm just going to go home. I completely have forgotten about him.
Dang.
A year later.
Crazy, right?
Dang, bro.
A year later. I mean, an entire year not working. I was like, I don't know where I'm going to get a job.
Mm-hmm.
I finally get a job in Greensboro, North Carolina. And my first week of work, I'm so excited. I'm walking down the street posting selfies. I'm in Greensboro. And he DMs me like, so you want to go on that first date now? I was like, I forgot you live there.
That's God.
Yeah.
Bro.
And then we went on our first date and the rest is history.
So what's different about your story from that?
I think it really all matched up. It matched up.
Okay.
We knew of each other.
Okay.
You know, we both went to Maryland.
Okay.
She was an RA in the building that I lived in my junior year. She actually was over, like, one of my closest friends. And I remember when I went to Greensboro for law school, 2019, she was in Wilmington. I had no idea how far it was. So
you were just, I just thought,
I was just
you.
Like, oh, I'm in North Carolina.
Right.
I'm from Baltimore, Maryland. So I'm
like,
okay, I'm in a new state. You're in a new state.
Yeah, yeah.
She might be close.
Right.
Happened to find out she was hours away.
Yeah.
So yeah, we went our separate ways. Both of us went into different relationships at the time.
Okay.
And came out of them. And we were both transformed and redeemed and on a different journey and mindset.
Mm-hmm.
If we had met at that time, we wouldn't be here today.
Yeah. For real.
Or in college.
Mm-mm. If we had met in college, I would have avoided her.
Wow.
Yeah, I would have avoided her.
Wow. Recently, I've completed my full estate plan, and it's been an emotional journey, if I'm going to be honest with you. But now I have a peace of mind knowing that my family and loved ones are well taken care of. But here's something you may not know that I think you need to know. According to a recent study, nearly 60% of African-American adults have life insurance. Now, wait a minute. Many of these policies may not provide sufficient coverage to fully protect their families in case of unexpected deaths. This lack of adequate coverage is a pressing issue among the Black community. It can lead to financial difficulties and potentially hinder the building of generational wealth. In today's time, it's more important than ever for African Americans to give priority to life insurance and estate planning. You see, by doing so, you can ensure that your loved ones are secure in the event of your passing. This covers funeral and burial costs, clears all debts and mortgages, and provides a financial cushion to help them continue building wealth, long-lasting wealth. Don't leave your family's financial future to chance. I want you to secure life insurance today. I want you to get a free life insurance quote through my friends at Ethos. All you gotta do is go to anthonyoneal.com/life insurance. Again, that is anthonyoneal.com/life insurance for your free quote, or click the link in today's show notes. Protect your family's future and attain a peace of mind. At right now, and let's get back to today's show.
Cause she was too serious.
She's too serious about what?
As in, like, I wasn't ready for marriage or a serious relationship. So if I saw her.
You were throwing parties. So you were saying all kind of things. Let's be real.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And then you was like, oh, he throwing parties.
Yeah.
He ain't really trying to settle down like that.
Exactly. I wasn't nearly as mature as I am now and as I was 2 years ago when we first met. And I'm sure she could probably say the same.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
So I love this for this show, because I mean, I know where you all are at today. Today you're married. You all are celebrating 1 year of marriage.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Amen. Thank God.
Amen. Yes.
Amen.
28, 26. Doing great things in New Jersey.
Mm-hmm.
Combined income is right around it's above six figures. An attorney today. And you're chilling because you got a great man and you're finding your niche, right? But you were on billboards just years ago in transition. I want to start with you. I want to go back to the very beginning. So I think there's a lot of people that's going to be blessed by this show, right? Because you have an interesting story and still was able to. God was still able to bless you with an amazing wife and partner. You, at your beauty and caliber, you could have avoided him and went and got something else, but you saw something in this man and got you a great man to lead the family, to lead you all and where you all are going. But Andrew, man, you had a rough start, bro.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You've on the notes here when I was writing down, you were met with like five criminal charges.
Yep.
At the age of 13?
Yep.
What kind of criminal charges were those?
So there was possession of a deadly weapon with intent to assault, conspiracy to assault with a deadly weapon. And then there was, I think, possession with a deadly weapon like on school grounds.
You know, me and you relate to that. I got almost criminally charged, but I did get expelled because this is beyond your times, but this is right when weapons were becoming a thing in high school. I was expelled for having a laser pen because it was considered a weapon. So I guess laser pens were blinding people when they first came out.
Mm.
And so me and my little brother was playing with it the night before. My little brother heard my dad coming. He threw the laser pen.
Wow.
It landed in my backpack. I get to school. I pull out my book. Laser pen falls out, hits the teacher on the whiteboard.
Wow.
Police come and get me. And it's an immediate expulsion. Yeah. There's no grounds, there's no hearing, there's nothing. It's you're gone. And they put that on my record.
Wow.
Mm.
A weapon, the intent to harm a teacher.
Right.
You know, and luckily my parents were able to fight that legally and get it off my record. But for yours, how did yours turn out?
Yeah, so for me, when I was in middle school, I used to get dropped off at my zoned high school.
Okay.
And when we would get off the bus, you know, we usually just chill outside the bus before we walked home.
Yeah.
One day, my friends were joking about a high school kid who came out. He was shorter than us. And so I was like 5'8", 5'9", in eighth grade. So I was pretty tall. So I could remember just being a bystander and standing near my friends as they were joking about this short guy. And he ends up saying, hey, are these your friends? As he says to like his sister who went to our school. She goes, yeah, those are my friends. He said, oh, all right, I'm gonna go get my friends. I'll be right back. He goes inside the school and he gets his friends to chase us. I can remember linebacker from the football team. And this dude was huge, chasing the three of my friends. So we're running. The first day was maybe three guys. The next day is five guys trying to chase us. And it grows to the point where there's 10 guys chasing us after school. As we get off the bus, literally they're waiting for us to get off the bus and chasing us home. So at 13 years old, we had a decision to make. Either are we going to fight, try to fight them, you know, are we going to call our parents, or are we going to take it into our own hands? And so for me, I never had gotten disciplined in school or had gotten into any fights. I was not a violent kid. But when you're getting chased by 10 or 15 kids,
you're going to become a violent kid.
And your friends say, hey, man, look, we don't do no snitching.
Right.
And at 13, you're not thinking. You're like, yeah, nah, we don't need to tell our parents. We ain't going to tell no teachers. So they said, hey, why don't we go? My brother has some blades at the house. You know, maybe if we bring those, they'll get scared and run away. There was no intent to harm anyone. But the 13-year-old mind is just thinking, look, we just want them to get scared and run away.
Yeah, yeah.
So I get to school. Nobody tells me what the real plan was. Get on the bus. My friends start playing hot potato with the knife because they knew that they had got caught at that point. So we're going to school. We're driving. And I didn't realize it. My best friend from the age of four passes me the knife. And in a split second moment, I was like, I could do a couple things. I could be like, nah, or I could take it, put it in my bag. And my goal was to save him from getting in trouble.
Yeah.
But, you know, I ended up getting caught with
it. The knife.
We all got arrested that day. You know, they took us to the station. Fortunately, what happened for me, because I live in Baltimore County at the time, they have a program called the Joins Program, which is a probation program for first-time offenders that are minors. They give you a slap on the wrist, no record. You complete probation, so you call a probation officer, you know, every week. I got suspended. They tried to expel me, my friend. Unfortunately, you know, one of my friends ended up getting expelled. We had to go to a hearing, and it was a tough situation.
Absolutely.
At that age, I really learned, like, man, like, so many lessons.
Yeah.
So many lessons. But fortunately, no record.
Okay.
Just the suspension was really just deemed a long-term absence.
Right.
And I've been able to develop a lot of discipline from that situation.
What sparked where you are today? Because at 26, you're an attorney.
Right.
Like, not just a past, like, graduated from college. You done passed the bar. You're an entertainment attorney now, right?
Correct.
What did that have a role in where you are today?
For sure. It really did.
Did it.
Because when I got suspended, you know, that was basically me seeing like, man, I'm losing everything at 13. You can't go to school. I couldn't play basketball. I thought my life was over at that point. And so I had to make a decision. I started journaling and I decided to focus on two things, school and basketball. If nothing had to do with school or basketball, I wasn't doing it. So even when I went to college, I wasn't drinking, I wasn't smoking. I was throwing parties, but I was throwing parties to make money.
I got you.
So everything was a disciplined approach. And I said at 30, I'm going to become a lawyer. I met my first lawyer when I was 13.
Okay.
Because he used to drive me and my teammates to AAU practice.
Wow.
So at that point, we're having more conversations. He started to mentor me.
Wow.
And now as an entertainment attorney, I encounter creatives or artists who their life might be in shambles. And, you know, they might be like, man, you don't understand. And it's like, I really do, though.
No, yeah.
I actually understand what you're going through.
Yeah.
I actually understand what it means to lose everything.
Yeah.
Or to have your life possibly taken away. I know what it means to be viewed a certain way because of the color of your skin as a young black man. And so I'm telling you, don't go down that path. Live differently because your life could really be rocked.
I mean, I got to say, though, man, at 26 now, your story pretty much started with the attorneys out at 24. I don't know too many 26 and or 28-year-olds. Well, I know a lot of 28-year-old ladies. Michelle Morrison, our team, is your age, and she's one of the most mature ladies I know, right? I see more young ladies y'all's age really winning. It's hard for us to really be that mature at your age. I think I just started saying, okay, wait, I need to take my life a little bit more serious, right? I was broken homeless at 20. Even after being broken homeless and working three jobs, I still was like, yo, I'm still going to ball out. I have a good time. But I knew I needed to learn about money. But I was I'm still going to pull all the ladies out of all this stuff. And I just want to commend you, man, for really seeing that, because while you're throwing the parties that your now wife is coming to, back then she didn't know you, and then she ignored you, and then she left you,
right?
And then God brought her back to you. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying, bro? I'm just saying. God was trying to help her out. Right? You know, like, I don't know why you did that, but
just
make that U-turn. You know what I'm saying? But then now look at where you are today.
Amen.
You know, and it's like, I just believe, man, that when I look at young men like yourself, I'm like, dang, bro. If I would have had that head at 24, I would be a lot further than where I'm at today. You know, and I pray that every parent watching this is showing this to their children. I pray that if you're a woman and you have a man, show this to that man, right? Because we need more young men. We're not perfect individuals, but we should at least be striving to do better in life. And man, I just commend you on that, because at 26, you're an attorney, thriving attorney, and you're killing. But yo, Monique, your story is interesting. Like I don't know too many ladies in today's generation would do what you did for love. Well, I'm sorry, the chat's gonna blow up. I think that there are a lot, but I don't think the majority would do what you did, right? So you were thriving. Well, you were in a career thriving and really taking off. And then you just did a complete pause. Not pause. You stopped and said, I love this man so much, I'm going to quit everything that I'm doing to go follow love. Let's dive into something exciting. Bethel Tech's micro-credential program. Just 15 weeks and you're on your way to mastering in-demand tech skills, setting you apart in today's competitive job market. And the best part, it's all online, 100% online, and fitting perfectly into your busy life. Bethel Tech isn't just about tech skills. It's about growing your character through spiritual mentorship and faith groups, shaping you into a Christian leader in the tech world. You'll learn from industry experts geared towards your success. What about landing your dream job? Bethel Tech's graduates are making waves at companies like Salesforce and Dell. And with a price tag of only $5,000, it's an investment in your future that's both affordable and valuable. Are you ready to start? With multiple start dates, there's never been a better time. Visit anthonyoneal.com/Bethel. Again, that is anthonyoneal.com/Bethel. And step into your tech career with confidence and character. Break that down for me, because I mean, you know, Monique, ladies in these days and times are saying, if he ain't making six figures, if he ain't there, I ain't doing nothing. So what made you stop your whole life to go follow this man?
I feel like there were so many layers to it. It'd been years of me developing my relationship with God, and I would be constantly praying, but living a life that didn't match my prayer life. I have journals, like stacks of journals of me writing and asking God for this, asking God for that. And back when I lived in Wilmington, I remember I had a dream one night where I saw this fine chocolate man from the back in the kitchen. And for years, I was like, who is this chocolate man in the kitchen? Every time I would go on dates, I'm like, I don't think this is a chocolate man.
It's chocolate, though. I just want to pause right there. She's happily married, but them chocolate brothers, you know what I'm saying? They hit differently. That's all I'm going to say. Them light-skinned brothers, God still love you.
Uh-oh.
The guys still love you, but it's them chocolate brothers. Go ahead. Continue with your story.
And so I still kept dating, and I was just like going down this rabbit hole of men. Mm-hmm. That was just not it. Mm-hmm. And
were they light skin or chocolate?
It was a mix. Okay. It was a mix.
You should have avoided the light skin. God is good. It was a
mix. But when I was in that year of 2020, okay. I feel like really God was stretching me in a way. Like, for an entire year, I was going to him through seasons where I kept saying, God, like, when is it, you know? Like, when is the job? When is the man? When it was so many questions that I had in that year. You know, when is the world going to just change? Like, you know, everybody was just asking so many questions. Mm-hmm. And it even came to a point where I used to wear wigs a lot because I worked in news just to have straight hair so I could be good. And so I just, like, I'm going to start wearing my natural hair. And everything about me started to just reflect who I really was. Okay. You know, I feel like there's some sort of shield when you're always like wearing wigs and weaves and things like that. No shade to it. Yeah. I wear at times. But I mean, I started to really embrace my natural beauty because we're all living at home and I started to do that. And so I even had a vision board that I created. And I said that I wanted to have, I wanted to be a wife with God at the center.
Okay.
And so when I eventually got that job and I went and I was sitting there talking with him and on our first date and he's telling me all the things I'm like about him and all of the accomplishments that he had, the same way he was able to see my work ethic in the gym by him telling me all the things that he had accomplished, I was like, oh, there's no way that I can walk away from someone who's been able to do this. And what I mean is he's said how he had a business in college. Mm-hmm. There was one night where he made 13K in 20, one night
actually.
Oh, okay.
Hey, let her know. Okay. Let her know, bro. Hold up, man. Get it right.
It was one night.
Wow.
For one of those parties that he threw. I mean, wow. He had Greyhound buses. I'm saying you orchestrated all that while being able to be an honor student in undergrad. And you also.
Honor student.
Yeah, I graduated 3.5.
3.5?
Yeah.
Come on, bro.
In 3 years. And I'm like.
Wow.
I went to college.
Right.
I have 2 degrees, so it took me a little longer.
Right.
And then. I'm like, all the things that he was able to do, I'm like, this does not, you don't find this every day. I want to learn more.
Yeah.
And so I was praying about it with God, and I remember saying to him, praying continuously, if this is him, reveal signs to me. And it just kept getting better.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's the signs that I kind of like need, you know? So.
That's crazy. What were you doing at the time, career-wise, when you met him?
I was a meteorologist.
Meteorologist.
So I actually, right before I even quit, I had just got my first Emmy nomination.
Wow.
I had just did a TEDx talk, and wow. I was so excited. Yeah, I had that billboard. It was like the, I was a little girl.
30.
Yeah, I was 30 under 30 for Maryland.
40 under 40 for the triad, yeah.
Yeah.
For the triad?
Yeah, like North Carolina. Yeah.
Wow.
So I was getting all this recognition, but I was reading at the time Your Purpose is Calling by Pastor Darius Daniels.
Yeah.
And I had started reading the book, and then I stopped. And I was like...
Why did you stop that book?
Because when you're living a life, when this man is like reading you for filth, you need to make
that's
changes.
Darius. Yeah.
You
know? That's Darius. Oh.
But you're not actually actively... I can't read a book and pat... Like, I have to make the changes. Mm-hmm. So as I was reading the book, my life was not matching it, and it was just like this awkward feeling in me, and I was like, I gotta stop reading the book. Mm. Then I continued to read the book, and I said, okay, I need to make changes that mm-hmm. shift and match what he's talking about here. And I can do it.
Mm-hmm.
And I even, when I was reading, I read a lot of books to grow my mind. But in more recently, it helped me to better understand that situation when I was reading T.D. Jakes' book, Women Who Pray, 10 Women Who Pray or something mm-hmm. along those lines.
Mm-hmm.
And he talks about the favor trap,
mm-hmm.
how when you are so favored by God that you kind of get stuck. When he talked about Esther and how, I mean, I had that billboard, right? I had those things. Right. But my purpose was still calling me for greater.
Yeah.
And I felt as though greater was calling. And so I had to leave because I knew that here was not it. It was there.
Mm.
So, and although that sounds beautiful to say, I'm still figuring that out.
Right.
But I do still say every time I think back, I'm like, that was the best decision I ever made in my entire life.
When you quit your job to move from North Carolina to go to New Jersey, I'm going to play this. When you first met him, Were you already in law and had a job? Did you have a job?
Nope, didn't have a job. I was in my last semester. I was interning at the time for a big entertainment company, but I didn't have a job lined up yet.
All right. No disrespect towards you because you're the man today. You got the ring. You were 2 years older than him.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't have a job.
Mm-hmm.
You're not an unattractive woman. Men were coming for you.
Mm-hmm.
What was it in him that you was like, nah, I see something in him. But so what made you go with what you saw rather than what he had? Because a lot of ladies are not, they're not doing that in today's day and time.
Yeah, I think those things that you can't see, you know, like the discipline, the integrity, very honorable.
Okay.
His just character. I remember I had like a party, a get together at my house. Because again, abstaining, I didn't want to have him and me together. So I had a group of friends over.
Okay.
And I remember he went to go walk one of my friends to her car. And I never had that before where a person that I was
dating.
Yeah. Wanted to walk my friend to the car. Now, that sounds really odd, but, like, respect that he had. And I never questioned it because I'm like, you know, it is dark outside. It is really late. And
did you ask her? Did he say anything?
He said, oh, I'm going to go walk her to the car.
Wow.
And I was like, oh, okay. And so he walked her to the car. And it's, like, those little things where I was like, wow. Like, and I also loved his work ethic in the gym, too, because I always wanted someone who matched. We were going to Orange Theory. Okay. I don't know if you've ever been to Orange Theory.
But I don't like it.
Like, yeah.
Yeah, y'all go hard.
No, we went. We used to go.
Okay. I don't see how y'all could do that every day. I mean, let me play this. This is not a knock on Orange Theory. It's just for me. I have a different work ethic.
Yeah. But initially, when we were both pursuing that together, it was just like he had that, you know, and he would see, oh, Monique, you could do this. And in fact, one of the reasons why he told me that he DM'd me, so I used to post motivational videos on my social media.
Okay.
And he saw that, and that's what kind of initiated what he wanted to DM me.
Love it.
And so he said, you should go back to doing more of that. And the fact that he saw, he wasn't like, you need to go out and be showing yourself. It was like he saw the things about me that I was like, you know what? You are right. And he kept being able to make me better.
Yeah.
And that's what I think what drew me more to him. And he still does that to today. And I think that's the trouble part of when you're finding someone great is you have to constantly grow. And as women, I think that's the part that the friction always is there where they end up leaving someone because they're so focused on the things that don't matter. If the person is there to help you grow and you guys are able to grow together, all that comes, you know?
I love it. I love it, man. Y'all giving us hope out here. Wow. I mean, because, you know, me, I'll be 40 this year, and I am somewhat similar to you. I've dated some great ladies. We just weren't aligned, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, a lot of people have their thoughts about me being single. Like, he's 40, no kids. Is he gay? Like, what's going on, right? And I'm just like, nah, it's just, I gotta find alignment for me. If I waited this long, I refuse to get a divorce.
Amen.
And so I'm not going to get married because society says I need to be married.
Mm.
I'm not going to get married because people think something of me. Because when something goes wrong in a marriage, the same people who had everything to say are not going to be there to help me get through that.
Mm, right. That's real.
And so I just want to say I commend you all for moving the way that you all are moving, you know, and how you all moved as single people, even down to the point to where y'all decided to, you left North Carolina, y'all moved in, but y'all was like, oh, listen, we're still going to honor this thing, so we're going to get married in 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all went to the courthouse and got married.
Mm-hmm.
How much was that?
It was like $80.
Yeah.
They have some fees waived because of COVID at the time.
Okay.
So it was only $80.
$80 to get married as a young couple. How did y'all feel about that? Like, because, I mean, y'all eventually had a wedding, right?
Mm-hmm.
Was it because y'all wanted one or because y'all's parents wanted one?
They're two different perspectives.
Yeah.
I'll get mine first.
Okay.
I'm from Baltimore.
Okay.
My family's from Ghana.
Oh. Yeah.
So my parents came over from Ghana in the 90s.
Okay.
They didn't have a wedding. They went to the courthouse.
Yeah.
And they did a vow renewal in Jamaica years later.
Okay.
So their standpoint was always, we didn't have a wedding. We just got married in the courthouse. They're celebrating 30 years this year.
Wow.
So the culture of weddings, it's not as much of an influence for them. They came to this country in, I believe, 93 and 94. got a home a year later. Like, my mom and dad were, like, super focused.
Wow.
Yeah. So whether to have a wedding or not, my family was like, just, hey, you're getting married.
Yeah.
The relationship, the marriage matters more than the day itself. So that was their standpoint.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then yours?
Yeah, we wanted to respect the covenant with God initially. And I think also very early on, we were really trying to figure out finances.
Okay.
Finances and, you know, at least for me, I will say and be honest with you that I did cry and have to let go of my Cinderella wedding dreams.
Okay.
And I think a lot of women have to cry and let go of their various different dreams.
Why? Like, what is a Cinderella dream? What's going on, family? Let's talk about something that's been buzzing in the tech world, AI safety and security. How do you feel about the rapid advancements in AI and the potential risk that it brings? Have you heard of the stories about AI being tricked? It's a real concern, but fear not, because there's a real solution, AI Red Teaming. You see, AI Red Teaming is all about stress testing. You see, AI models and deployments to prevent unauthorized access and data leaks. It's about ensuring that your AI can't be tricked into providing information beyond its intended use. And guess what? You don't have to do it alone. My friends over at HackerOne has a community of over 750 active hackers specializing in AI security testing. You see, in a recent engagement, just 18 hackers identified over 100 valid findings in just 2 weeks. That's the power of ethical hackers. Wow. So if you want to ensure the safety and security of your AI deployments, look no further. Head over to HackerOne.com and explore their AI Red Teaming services. With strategic flexibility, rapid deployment, and a hybrid talent strategy, HackerOne has everything you need to safeguard your AI. Don't let AI keep you up at night. Visit HackerOne.com today and rest easy knowing that your AI is in safe hands.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Well, I mean, when you sometimes see those like weddings and you're scrolling on social media and you'll see like these lavish weddings that people have with women's dresses, $10,000 and all these people. And granted, our party was jumping. Okay. Anybody that went to our wedding.
I mean, you got the guy who knows how to throw a party.
No, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Was
but it was just certain aspects of the wedding that, like, I did the whole plan, the whole wedding myself. I didn't have a wedding planner.
You did?
Yeah. Okay. But also because I wasn't working. So
Right. You got it. Yeah.
So I planned the whole wedding. But it was just like, over time, as we started planning, and even now as we look back, I'm like, honestly, none of that stuff really matters, you know? Because for me as a woman, especially, a lot of your friends start to strip away.
Absolutely.
And a lot of the relationships.
In marriages.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know, my biggest thing, too, I started to see that, you know, when you see the husband and wife and you have the groomsmen and the bridesmaids, like, behind them.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't feel like I had women that I believe could stand behind me. I think I see it as like this image that they pour into who the people. And I feel like I didn't have that behind me.
Mm-hmm.
And so by going to the courthouse, it was like, let's just go with who really supports and pours into this thing, the meat of what it is.
Mm-hmm.
And then we can celebrate the beauty later. And I think it was still really important to celebrate because my husband, he's so disciplined, and he deserves his flowers.
Mm-hmm.
And so I know there was many moments where, like, his AAU coach who saw him when he was that young boy playing basketball to now seeing him as this great attorney and having me as a wife, being able to stand up there and give his speech.
Wow.
You know?
That's true.
And my sister, you know, being able to say the speech for me, like, all of these great people in our lives, be able to pour back into us was extremely important.
Absolutely.
But I do think that there was value in starting the year off fresh and new together With God on our side, because we needed that. Yeah. You know, everyone needs that. And I think there's so much noise in the wedding, and there's so many distractions and so much that's involved that does not really matter at the end of the day.
So how much did y'all plan the wedding for, the celebration? After the courthouse, how much was the wedding?
The celebration part, it was in June. It was like
ballpark about 12 or 13.
Yeah. It's not bad.
Right.
Because I was real researchy. Yeah. You know, first of all, I know how to make a dollar holler, okay? That's one thing. So when I first worked in North Carolina, my first job, I was making 25K.
Oh.
In news. You'd be shocked.
Oh, wow.
I was making 25K my first job. Yeah. So by the time
I... Is that full time?
Yes. With benefits.
In 2020?
It was 2018.
2018.
But still.
Still?
Yeah.
Wow.
So with the leftover money I had, I would go to Aldi. I would get my produce, my meat. I knew how to cook. I learned how to cook.
Right, right, right.
So anytime in life, if you give me a little bit, I know how to make a lot.
Yeah.
So when I was planning for this wedding, I was digging and searching and trying to figure out ways to make it happen. We still had 150 people there.
Yeah. Wow.
And my dress was like 2,000.
Okay.
But the venue itself was like 10K or something.
And you mentioned our parents chipped. Our parents paid for the majority of it.
Wow.
We only probably out of pocket came out like $600 or $700.
Wow.
Our parents came together. We had a meeting with them. I had pride initially, I'll be honest. Because I was like, I'm the man. I'm going to pay for this whole thing.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you have to realize, like,
you can't pay for
You can't
thing.
Do that, bro.
You just got
You can't do that. I had just got my job. I was probably a month in.
And y'all didn't want to borrow any money.
We didn't want. I didn't want to put pressure on my family or her family either to contribute, you know. So it was very difficult for me to put my pride to the side and say, we need help. We want to do this. But if we do this out of our pocket, we're not going to be set up for success. So that was a difficult conversation to be able to sit in front of her father and her mother.
And my dad is a financial planner, by the way.
Yeah. I like him. What up, Pops? What up, Pops?
Yeah.
What was his response as a financial planner?
He said it was smart.
Yeah.
Because he knew our financial situation.
Yeah.
And my parents also celebrated 30 years this past year.
Come on.
And
now.
So they understood that the stresses and everything that was involved with it. At the time, the start of the year, my grandfather passed.
Okay.
So it was a lot of finances. He was paying for that, but my dad was able to make it happen. I'm also his baby girl, so it's you got to make it happen.
Right.
But he respected every decision that he made, because he even, he got a luxury apartment for us when he came, and he made that choice for me.
Wow.
So the reason why he didn't have the finances was not because of anything.
He stepped up to provide to cover y'all.
Yes. I mean, he even sold his car.
You sold your car?
Yeah.
For what?
It didn't make sense. You know, I had to try to make space as well.
Hold on, bro. Wait, what the heck is going on? I'm liking y'all leaving long. What kind of car was it?
It was a 2022 Honda Civic.
Bro.
Yeah, brand new.
Brand new.
Brand new. It was nice.
How much was the payment?
The payment was like $530 a month.
$530 a month.
The insurance was maybe about $80. But then when you live in like Jersey, New York area, you got to pay for
parking.
So when you add it all up, you're paying maybe like $700 or so for the car, but then there's gas. You're getting close to spending like
$1,000
a month for a car to sit there. I work in New York. I take the metro. So I can get my grocery stores around the corner.
And our luxury apartment offers a bus.
Yep.
So they offer a bus shuttle that takes him to the train.
Yep.
And then he just takes the train and
So
and then the bus comes back and pick you up and you come back home too?
Exactly. So I don't need a car at all. So
you put $1,000 back in your pocket.
Exactly. I put $1,000 back. And I was at the time when I moved, you don't really know when you first, a lot of people make this mistake.
Right.
A lot of people my age, you get a job, the first thing you do is you go out and get a car.
Facts.
And then you get a job, you get an apartment, you don't realize how much everything adds up with the car, the apartment you just got. So I started to realize when I first moved, I was like, whoa, I'm in over my head.
Right.
This car is not being used.
Right.
And I'm throwing this, I don't even see how much I'm making.
Mm.
Like, you know, when I first started working, I was, you know, about $84,000. I'm not seeing it.
Mm.
So I was frustrated. So when she first got here, the first assignment, when she first got to Jersey, was to sell the car.
I sold it.
You sold it?
Yeah.
Did you lose money on it? Y'all
we lost a little bit.
A little bit.
Just a little bit?
About $5,600.
But that's not bad, though, because you got that back in a couple of months.
Yeah, I did.
You negotiated.
Yeah, we negotiated down.
Wow. Yeah. And so you got that money back.
Yeah.
Did you have a car at least?
Yeah, I do.
So you brought your car. Mm-hmm. So y'all have one car in the family, but you catching the train into New York.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And then you're working from home, just doing stuff from home, mm-hmm. right? Exactly. And so, wow. I got a question for y'all, those of y'all watching right now, and keep it a buck. I don't spend a lot of money. I spend money on my house, and I am a car guy.
Yeah.
But I just got my luxury cars 2 years ago. Mm. Up until then, I've been blessed to make this kind of money for going on about 10 years. Like I've been making some real good money. But I was driving a used, paid for 2001, 2000, something like that. I can't forget the year, but it was an Acura TL, 300,000 miles on it before I sold it, right? And so, but I was making that sacrifice. I was living in a one-bedroom apartment at 30. How old am I now? 40? At 35, I was living in a one-bedroom apartment, paying like $1,000 a month, driving the 2000 Acura TL with all the miles on it, making a couple of six figures.
Wow.
I was living way below my means, right? But it was a sacrifice.
Yes.
Because I was like, I want that freedom. I want that margin. I want to be able to, if I did find my wife at the time, I wanted to be able to have the room to provide, to protect, and to go after the things that we desire. Mm-hmm. Right? And you get your wife and you're like, yo, I don't need a car. You got a car. This is $1,000 a month. I can catch a train. And then if we want to do something, we just jump in your car and we do our thing.
Exactly.
So let me put this money back in the pocket because I'm curious. Were you living in a place before, by yourself, before her, was that a place you would have brought, you would have want to bring her to, where you were living?
So when I moved, like my intention, I knew that she was coming up. So the place that we're at now.
Okay.
You
got that when you got there.
If we weren't together and was serious about marriage, I would have chose a totally different place.
I got you.
But I wanted to make sure it's a nice space that she would love.
Yeah.
That she would be able to feel like it's home-like.
Yeah.
And then part of selling the car, I'm like, look, if she's coming up and I said I was going to provide, how are you going to provide when you stacked over the head with the car
Ooh-wee.
And everything? So I'm like, let me make space.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because you never know if, let's say she's like, oh no, I can't, my car, or whatever. Guess what? I got it.
Ooh!
Yeah.
It's a good love story right here, man. This gives me hope with black love. I needed this more than anything because, man, I see you, bro. Like, I see you and me, right? Mm. So I was engaged to a great woman. She was older than me. That's why I see you. You know what I'm saying? Now, she was a cougar because she was like 10, 11 years older than me. You know what I mean? Got that skill like that. You know what I'm saying? Anyways, stop joking, Ayo. And we were talking about marriage. She was living in Jacksonville, Florida. I was in Tennessee at a time working with Dave Ramsey. And I was like, okay. When we started talking about it, I was living in that one-bedroom apartment. Mm. It was a nice one-bedroom apartment, but it wasn't suitable for the caliber of a woman who she was.
Right.
But her brother lived in Tennessee. Mm. And I was like, dang, I'm always on the road traveling with Ramsey and him, right? And so I was like, dang, I don't want to bring my wife here into this one-bedroom apartment, into a brand-new city to where she only knows one person, which was her brother at the time.
Mm.
So I'm like you. I'm like, all right, bet. When my lease came up at that apartment, I went and got a townhome across the street from her brother and a very high-end townhome community. It was a three-story townhome, rooftop, everything like that. And I'm like, oh, this is beautiful. This is great. This is great. And then when she came up, she was like, wow, thank you. So literally, if we were to get married, she could walk across the street to be with her brother, right? And I felt, as a man, safe. Clearly, it didn't work because it was my ex-fiance. It didn't work for not bad reasons. We realized that she was coming off of a mountain that I was coming to and ready to climb.
Mm.
At that time, you know, I'm wanting kids, right? Mm. At that time, she's not really wanting kids.
Right.
She's 40 something years old, already raised two by herself, you know, and she's ready to live her life, travel and go off the world. And I was like, listen, girl, I'm too young to be saying I don't want kids at that time. And so we decided to go our separate ways after engagement, after therapy, actually. It was therapy that brought it up. And so, man, I commend you for making the sacrifice.
Praise God.
Saying, hey, if I'm going to lead, I need to make sure when my wife comes up, I am in a position to where her life doesn't have to drastically change.
Right.
Because she made a sacrifice quitting her career and her job.
Right.
And everything that she went to school for.
Exactly.
To come marry you.
Right.
And if you would have been like, I mean, I'm not making any sacrifices.
Right.
I don't even know if she would have, you know, pursued the marriage if she didn't see sacrifices coming from you.
That's real.
As a man, as a husband. So, brother, I love that. How many of y'all watching the show right now will make a sacrifice? Would you sell your car? Would you quit your job? You know, what are you willing to make the sacrifice for love? Now, I really got to ask that question. Let me know in the comment section below if you definitely would make that sacrifice for love. For the young couples watching right now, what advice would y'all give them for a successful, y'all been married for a year.
Yeah.
So clearly y'all two are two human beings. I got a good question. How do y'all get over arguments? So when y'all are disagreeing, how do you all get through the argument in a healthy way? And cause I believe that one of my close friends, Pastor Edward Weston, taught me this one thing. He says, the breeding ground for understanding and the ending is clear communication in the beginning.
Amen.
And clear communication in the beginning doesn't necessarily mean it's a happy conversation.
Right.
It could be a uncomfortable conversation, but an uncomfortable conversation in the beginning is going to get you to the ending in a healthy way.
Amen.
So I'm curious, as a young, thriving couple, now y'all two live together.
Yeah.
Now y'all are intimate. Y'all know everything about each other now.
Sure.
You know what I'm saying? So y'all have clearly had some hard days, some hard conversations. How do y'all get through that as a young couple?
Let me go first. I'll go first. So one thing we've really learned, I'm not a counselor, I'm not a therapist, I'm not a psychiatrist, but I believe that conflict in relationship is dependent on your personality.
Okay.
So both of us are extroverts.
Oh.
So you know what that means is that when there's a conflict, I'm talking.
She's talking.
Ooh. We talking.
Ooh.
Right? So it's not easy.
Yeah.
So you gotta learn your person's personality.
Okay.
Your husband, your wife, your spouse, whoever you're with, you got to learn their personality.
Yeah, yeah.
So you have to know their personality, and you also have to know their triggers.
Ooh.
Right? So for me, triggers are raising voices. For her, a trigger is, well, I'm walking away. You know, I'm just going to walk away. Like, you know how if you're trying to avoid something, that's a trigger for her.
Yeah.
So we have to actually approach conflict head on, which is not easy.
Yeah.
But we've built a very good foundation on vulnerability and being upfront. The story I told you about getting arrested, I've actually never shared that publicly before.
Wow.
She told me that on the first date.
Exactly.
What?
I told her that on the first date because I'm like, I need to be fully vulnerable.
And real.
Real.
Up
if front. We're gonna be serious about this thing,
right.
I need you to know. I don't need you to be surprised about who I am or, you know.
What if she would've said, no, I can't deal with that?
Then that's great.
Bro! You know what I'm saying, bro? Yo! That's my guy! Bro, I be trying to turn him off day one.
Exactly.
And if you stay with me after day two?
Exactly.
Okay, you the real. You for real.
Mm.
Oh,
so that
bro.
Ground was established. You got to be vulnerable. Because if they know, she knows, oh, that's 13-year-old little boy, Drew. I don't want to hurt him.
Ooh.
Mm. And I know, that's the young Monique, you know, that was in her 20s, that was dealing with.
Yeah.
I can't do what those guys did.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't know unless she told me.
Ooh. Okay, Mo.
I think two factors that actually helped us was abstaining.
Yes.
Okay.
Because very early on, and also being long distance at a time when he was studying for the bar, very early on, we had to talk through things. We couldn't just gloss over them. I mean, we had to work through them. So we have to have conversations. So very early on, every time something was bothering or whatever, or we wanted to talk to each other about a particular issue, we had to.
Yeah.
So now when it leads into the marriage, that same thing occurs.
Yeah.
Whenever we want to talk through something, we actually have check-ins that we do. We try to do them weekly. Sometimes week gets crazy, but weekly, bi-weekly.
Yeah.
We talk about every aspect of our life, finances, emotional, intimacy, all different aspects to make sure that we're on the same page.
Yep.
Now, granted, that doesn't mean that we're always going to be able to work through everything, but it helps.
Yeah.
Also, we did do premarital counseling.
Okay.
So in premarital counseling, he did say straight up, if you don't tell each other everything, you know, those things that maybe you hide,
yes.
you know, those things that have strongholds
right.
on you,
yeah, yeah.
you don't share those up front, there's it's no point even getting married.
Right, right, right. Yeah.
Because you need to be able to share those, and you should be able to share them freely, because that helps you guys grow.
Mm.
And every single time we did have a disagreement, we always look back, we're like, we didn't like it, but we're happy that we now understand each other a little bit better, and we're grateful for that. Especially now that we look back over the year,
mm-hmm.
we're like, man, we feel so much closer. Like, this is like my best friend, you
yes.
know what I'm saying? And not on some cliche, like, we've said it early on,
yeah.
but we feel it now. Like, I know what he's thinking. If I go in another room and I need to sit mm-hmm. for a second, he's not like, what is she doing? He's like, oh no, she needs a minute. You know what I'm saying? Or if I'm quiet, or it's early in the morning, or one of us is off, like, we understand each other better. And I think one other aspect that's helped us especially is we do our Bible studies.
Okay.
So we've been doing Bible studies nightly, and we've been focused on a chapter, and we'll read through it together. And we have our own personal time with God, but also having that time together allows for us to, maybe there's something that God is trying to expose to both of us. And so going back to the Word has been extremely helpful.
So I'm hearing communication and keep God in the relationship.
Yes. For sure.
Communication.
He brought us here.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
This is good. No, this is good. This is good. Communication, and God has to be in it. Would you say divorce is off the table?
For sure.
So y'all are through thick and thin.
Ride or die.
Ride or
for
die.
For rich and for poor, sickness and health.
Better or worse.
Yeah.
Marriages are under attack.
They
for
are.
Sure. They are. The enemy loves it.
Yeah.
The enemy mm-hmm. is
He wants us to be separated.
Yeah.
And I'm not a relationship expert, right? But in this season of my life of wanting and desiring marriage, I've been listening to wise counsel around marriage. Darius and Shamika, R.C. Blakes, my pastor, Pastor Stephen Chandler and Zai, my parents, how old am I? I'll be 40 this year. So they've been, my mom and stepfather have been married for 39 years.
Wow.
Praise God.
My dad and stepmother, and I hate the term step because I have four dope parents, have been married for 35 years.
Wow.
And all of them have really told me that, because in that generation, they didn't have the conversation that y'all's marriage counselor said, like, hey, y'all need to have the real conversation.
Yeah.
And expose things that you all may be a little embarrassed about, you may be a little insecure about, but if you don't have that conversation up front, then it's going to come out in the marriage.
Mm-hmm.
And either two things are going to happen. Y'all are going, it's going to be so devastating that it can hurt the marriage and possibly destroy the marriage, or y'all will just hear it and then sweep it up underneath the rug, and it'll be just a little odor that's in the marriage that you all are not addressing.
Mm.
But if you do it now, y'all could talk about it and y'all could bring it up in marriage counseling.
Yeah.
And my mom and dad both said that there were a lot of things that they hid.
Mm.
There were a lot of things that they did not say.
Yeah.
And I really do believe one of the things that we do not talk about in a healthy way, I think we talk about it in a toxic way, but we don't really talk about it in a healthy way, is finances.
Yeah.
How was y'all's conversation around finances? Because you quit. Dang. Yo, her head went down, bro. He started grabbing that necklace. Like, don't, Anthony. This is going to be another hour, man. Monique was like, bruh. But I'm just saying, it was like, I've one thing I firmly believe in, that I cannot give relationship advice.
Mm-hmm.
But on my platform, I can give money advice inside of relationships. And so I have like a whole quiz, and I have like a whole thing on like how to have the money conversation while dating. And I think my philosophy, I'm like you, bro. Up front, I give the ladies five S's.
Yeah.
She got to be safe, sweet, smart, skilled, very sexual.
Amen.
Right? I said it on Pastor Darius Daniels' platform. I said the first four, and I was like, I ain't going to say the last one.
Yeah.
And Shamika was like, what? I was like, cuz, I mean, Christian ladies be tripping. And Darius said, say it. And I said it, It was the ladies that said, amen.
It's yeah. Important.
I was like, well, amen, ladies. How y'all doing? The brothers was like, dang, don't do it, bro. And the ladies was like, no, amen. So I was like, okay, cool. That, and then also it's hey, finances. I am a financial educator. Mm-hmm. I believe in financial freedom, so I want to have that conversation. And some people say it's hard. So I will not even get into a serious relationship without having a financial conversation.
That's good.
I don't need to know how much money you're making, but I do need to know what's your mindset around money, what's your thoughts around money, what are your money goals, you know, because I want to make sure that we are aligned.
Yeah.
Now, the five S's, I'm like you. I'm like upfront, hey, this is what I'm looking for date one. Can you do it? I could do all four of them. God bless you. See you next time. You know, I need all five, right?
Yeah.
Not saying I need to have sex day one, but I'm saying that is important for me.
Mm-hmm.
But finances, I can't do it. I'm curious. Mm-hmm. When did you all have the conversation about finances in y'all's relationship?
It was really early on.
For real?
One, my husband has been a faithful follower of you,
as
well as Dave Ramsey.
I appreciate it.
And other folks. So he's been tapped in from the beginning and understood money, you know, well. My dad being a financial planner, great title. However, my dad was also the one, whenever I needed anything, send it. Car breaks down, AC 3000. Hey, daddy. All right, I just sent you the money. Yeah. That's how my whole life was.
Okay.
Grateful to God for my father, but
father.
He always did that for me.
Mm-hmm.
So the trouble was now I'm with him. And
he ain't sending you 3000.
Well, not that. Mm-hmm. I can't call daddy.
Facts.
So
that's facts.
I did. And learn my lesson that's not okay.
So wait, hold on, pause right now. Monique! Monique, she didn't even look at her husband. I did it, and it wasn't okay. So let's talk about that, because I don't think a lot of ladies understand how, if you're in a serious relationship, talk about marriage.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say it's offensive, but how it could send a huge message to your man that you didn't ask him for help, but you asked daddy for help.
Mm-hmm.
How did that conversation go in the area of finances? Like, tell me about the situation. I'm curious. This is good.
I think I needed my tires replaced or something like that. I think it was like $600 or whatever. But the trouble part was like really understanding this concept of leave and cleave on both sides. That's what it was. Like I was still very fresh and really understanding what that truly meant and how this is it. You know what I'm saying? Like my parents, they did their part.
Yeah.
And once I changed my name, this is it. You know what I'm saying? This is the new family now. And so my dad's there. He's always going to love. And if there's a time and place where we really need to come together, but we don't. You know what I'm saying? And we've now built ourselves up in a way where I'm not that young girl that needs to call on daddy. And I really had to understand
Monique, that. Were you married when you called and asked your dad for that?
I think it was.
No. Oh. We were in Greensboro.
Okay. Yeah. I don't remember.
Oh.
Remember when it was. I just remember I did it.
I was about to really be like, poor Monique. Man, so how did the conversation go when you found out she asked her dad to help for that?
From what I remember, I knew that she needed it.
Okay.
My thing was just, we have to try to make sure we build to a point where we're self-sufficient. Right? So we need to make sure that if the tire blows, that $600 at some point, especially when we say I do, that's why we make sure our parents chipped in for the wedding.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't want to have a situation like that where we have to call our parents for those little things.
Facts.
And there was a situation, I'm like, it has to come to a point where the first person you call is
you. Mm-hmm. Come on, bruh.
Yeah.
And she calls you second.
Right. And it's not about any disrespect to the family.
No.
It's more so at this point, I have to be the one that steps in and steps up. And if it's for me, she's going to have to step up for me. And I have to let her know first.
Yeah.
Before, at least you're going to let me know first.
Hands down.
Yeah.
I will feel a certain kind of way. If I'm seriously, if I am in a committed relationship with a woman and I'm saying, hey, we are taking this to a point of marriage. And I'm telling your dad, I'm seriously dating your daughter and courting your daughter to eventually be her husband one day. And I don't even know that the situation happened. I would feel a certain kind of way because I think even as a father, I'll be like, well, what is Anthony?
Yeah.
Did you talk to Anthony?
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, So I could see that. But I could understand why a daughter will go to dad. Because that's all that you know. Mm-hmm. He's the most consistent man in your life.
Yeah.
Right? And so I get that. Okay, okay. Finish your story. But that was so good.
Evolving to, like, when we really started having to talk about finances. Because at the time, he was there. I was there. I had my own thing going.
Yeah.
That was another one of the catalysts why it was time for me to go.
Okay.
Was because we were flying back and forth.
That's money.
Trying. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It was money.
It was right.
And it got to a point he was just like, I'm going to drive.
Wow.
He was driving. And I drove.
New Jersey to
13 hours. To
Green,
when,
Greenville?
Yeah.
To Greensboro?
Yeah.
Oh, that's 13 hours.
Yeah. It was a bop.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I flew.
Okay.
And the money, it was like one time I flew up and I had to be back for work and they like canceled my flight. It was, remember that whole time when everybody was canceling flights? It was like, they were just canceling flights.
Left
so they canceled my flight and immediately everyone was trying to like book because I need to be back at work. So everybody was booking them and they said it was like $1,000 to fly from Jersey to North Carolina. And I'm like, that's crazy, but I need to get back to work.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I didn't pay $1,000, more like $700, but it was still like
a lot of money.
Yeah. And so we were both like, all right, we can't keep spending this. Right. You know, we need to figure this situation out. So, okay, you come here. That will probably help save us. When we get here, though, now he's literally handling everything.
Mm.
Like the rent. I mean, he was already paying for health insurance for me. So groceries, all the things. That's when he made that choice. Okay, I'm going to sell my car. That's the first step. We were trying to go to financial experts. I didn't want to go to my dad.
Yeah.
So we were trying to find people. They all told me, this isn't going to work. We went to like three different people and no one wanted to help us. They were looking at the circumstance and the numbers and not listening to the story or what principles we were trying to ask them for help with.
Right.
And they all were just like, I'm not really sure.
So, give me one example. What's one example?
The fact that I wasn't working at the time.
And then moving to New Jersey.
Yeah. They were like,
it wouldn't work.
Yeah. You need to work. Right. And we were like, no, we believe that we make certain adjustments. And also, I didn't want to, the thing too, he made a very clear point to me. He said, if you're going to leave here, I want you to go after your purpose. I don't want you to just get anything.
Absolutely. Yeah. That's a man.
And so the problem was the financial expert we were going to, they didn't have the same faith we did.
Mm.
And so the trouble was they were looking at the numbers and we were like, but we know God can do it.
Mm-hmm.
We know, like, they weren't understanding that part.
Mm-hmm.
And he did. God did show up. I started to get offers to be like acting, like, you know, and they would just pay me for a day and I would get paid the same I was getting paid for a check.
Wow.
So I was doing that for a little bit and it didn't make sense to them. I'm like, but each month it kept coming and it kept working.
Yeah.
But that was kind of like the trouble part, but we really had to like double down on our money. But I was okay with it because, like I said, I was at 25K. So you can strip me down and say, this is all we got and I can make it happen.
Right.
But it was very difficult for me at many times where.
False. Didn't you tell me at the beginning of the show you made 25K last year?
No, 2018.
2018. So what did you make in 2023? Just chilling.
25K.
Not like this.
Without a job, right?
Yeah. I just started using my gifts, like, and I wasn't even serious because I was planning the wedding for half the year. Yeah. So that was
That was really just.
Just to get the money back for the wedding.
Yeah.
Come on.
But we didn't pay for it. So it was really just like money that we needed.
Yeah.
So. Yeah.
Man, listen. I'm gonna tell y'all right now. Y'all are all right with me.
Oh, man.
You know what I'm saying? Because it's like what I hear y'all doing is y'all are making it happen. And what I'm about to say, E3 family, hopefully I can say it in a way it doesn't offend. But I see Andrew stepping up as a man and allowing and creating a space to where his wife can really utilize the gifts and the skills and the talents that God is giving her that will benefit their family.
Yes.
And she doesn't have to go to work. She's working in her purpose that the ROI comes back to first herself and her fulfillment and her purpose and her assignment that God put inside of her. And the fruit of that comes out in the family.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that once, as you're continuing to evolve in that, Monique, y'all gonna be making $250,000 easy. And everyone that listens to y'all financial advisors, and you suck for saying that it will not work. Because I think a financial advisor's job is not to tell you it won't work. It's to tell you how to make it work.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, so we have $99,000 to work with in New Jersey. Okay, cool, great. What's the end goal? Well, I want my wife to be able to find a position. Okay, wife, how much do you think you can make? I could eventually get to making $100,000, $200,000 by X amount of time. Okay, cool. So we need to make this work for 2 years.
Yeah.
I always look for financial advisors. My financial advisor practices and believes everything that I teach, right? And she believes in God. Mm. And so it's like, hey, when I go to her, I'm like, hey, this is my goal. I give her the space and the place to tell me, hey, I may want to adjust this a little bit, but she also knows it is your requirement to teach me how to make it work, right? And I just believe that y'all going to be there. Y'all been married for 1 year, and the sacrifices both of you all made. Hey, I'm going to leave my job for love. You didn't leave your job for love. You left your job for an assignment, I believe. I believe that this marriage is an assignment that's greater than just you two.
Yes.
Right? And then you're like, hey, I want to steward Monique well, God.
Right.
So I'm going to sacrifice my car, brand new, and I'm going to just catch the train, walk to the bus, chill on out, do my thing. But listen, I think you're going to end up be driving your dream cars.
Oh, for sure.
You know what I'm saying?
And we're going to pay cash, too. There you go. Just like your boy.
Just make sure you find your dream car. Buy hers first. you can't be pulling up yours. Is she still pulling up? Nah, babe. Babe, you know? Wait a minute. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, but I think y'all going to be homeowners. Y'all going to have kids. Your kids are not... Your kids won't have to have the same pride issues you had because you're going to give them a check when they graduate high school, when they graduate college.
Amen.
You know what I'm saying? So it's like you're already going to set them up based upon what you all have already learned.
Amen.
And that's why I do, you guys, what I do.
Amen.
And, man, and I'm just excited. And y'all, these are two fruits of Pastor Darius Daniels
and
the church, man. So they mentioned the purpose. That's Pastor Darius Daniels' book. Michelle, put that in today's show notes. That's one of the best books. He also is the author of Relationship Intelligence.
Yeah.
Relation Intelligence, his first book that I read, and it is just, I mean, amazing. Y'all, Darius has been on this show. I was with him a couple of weeks ago, and he's just a phenomenal guy. And so I just want to say thank y'all.
Thank you.
Thank y'all for what you're doing. We're going to link their social media information in today's show notes. Go follow them, y'all. Go follow Black Love, you know. And I promise you, you all will be blessed. Happy Valentine's Day. I don't know if I'm doing another show before Valentine's Day, but if you are in love with someone, dating someone, I celebrate you. I salute you in this amazing month. Spend some time to have at Valentine's dinner, you know, I mean, spend some time to talk about something you haven't talked about before, you know, get to know your love better and deeper. I look forward to getting into a relationship and really, really, really getting to know her deeper. You know?
That sounds beautiful.
Yeah.
And it will happen.
Oh, it's going to happen.
Oh, you are.
I mean, I'm 40 this year. It better happen. You know? Because, I mean, I've done the dating for good looks. I've done the dating just so I can have sex. I've done all that.
Yeah.
I've been the womanizer. I've done ladies wrong. And I have no problem admitting that. I've grown. I've matured. I'm opposite of y'all. A lot of people think I'm an extrovert. I'm really an introvert. And so I pray that I marry an extrovert who understands an introvert. Because a lot of people see me on stage, they see me doing this show, so they automatically think I'm an extrovert when I'm not. You know, when I record my shows with guests, and it's nothing against y'all because I love y'all, but like after two of them, I don't even like talking to my team. I'm drained, you know? And so when I'm on stage and I'm giving it my all and God is doing this thing through me, when I get off the stage, it is hard for me to sign autographs, to take pictures, to smile 100 times. So when I'm done with that, one of my downfalls in a relationship is I want to come home and I just don't want to talk. I just don't want to do nothing. And in arguments, I'm opposite of y'all. I'm listening to understand and hearing. I'm not going to say much. I'm like, okay, man, I got you. So you said A, B, C. Got it. And I'm, that's it.
Yeah.
And ladies be like, oh, that's it? That's what I gotta say? I'm like, no, I heard you. Yeah. I don't need to go back and forth. I mean, it is what it is. So I'm evolving. I'm in counseling, therapy as well, and growing and maturing in that area. But I'm excited about love, man, because I think that I went viral a long time ago and I offended a lot of white people. I was called a racist. And I said I could never marry a white woman. I said, I was raised by two amazing, strong, God-fearing black women. And I want to marry a black woman.
Amen.
Who loves God, who represents excellence. And I'm like, okay, God, I'm going to do it.
I'll tell you one little thing.
What's that?
So in the story, when he went to go walk my friend to the car that day, my other friend said, if you don't get him, he's going to find himself a snow bunny.
Whoa!
He's going to be a great attorney. What you're saying as well.
She said, yo, if you don't get this man.
She said, oh, no.
And he is an attorney. He is going to get that white woman all day long. And I love white people. I genuinely love white people. I have good white friends. And a lot of white people have helped me. Honestly, probably one of the most impactful relationships to my business making seven figures is because of a white individual.
Right.
So I love everybody. It's just that who I lay in the bed with, if I make kids, when I'm doing life that intimate, I want it to be with someone from my culture, my community. That's it.
Amen.
You know what I'm saying? So I'm so happy you didn't get a white woman. I'm so happy you allowed him to get you. You know what I'm saying?
I can't believe they even thought that.
He said, I never. But
I hear that. Man, when I was working with Dave Ramsey, that's all people said. Oh, Anthony's going to marry a white woman.
Mm.
And I could understand that because that's the culture that I was in.
Yeah. Right.
Right. So that's what I see every day. That I'm around the culture. But I never allowed, and the white culture is not a bad culture. Mm. It just wasn't my culture. Mm. And I never allowed that culture to shift who I was.
Right.
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 And so, man, I remember sometimes I would come home and literally just go sit at a lounge just to be around our culture.
This like,
thank you. This is Drake. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, Lord. Oh, they cussing each other out. Thank you. I need to hear that. Yes, Lord. And then I'll go to my amazing church back home, man. It was amazing. I went to the Grove, man, and just an amazing church. So, love you all, man. Thank you all so much for coming. We done went over by 5 minutes. Jay's looking at me like, hey, bro, hurry up. Driver's about to crash. So we're going to end today's show, y'all. We're going to put all their information in today's show notes. If you want to get a copy, if you want to take the quick 5-minute Maximize Your Single quiz to learn how to really prepare yourself financially for that conversation, to have the conversation with the person who you're dating, we'll drop that in today's show notes as well. All right, y'all. We'll see you in the next show. Peace out.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.